This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, the sustainer of the universe, the most merciful, the most kind. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we send our love, our greetings, peace and salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family and his companions, and to all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah grant us to be amongst them. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for our sins of this past week, to grant this Jumu'ah to be an expiation and a guiding light for the week to come. May Allah have mercy on this ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on this ummah. May Allah have mercy on this ummah and grant us to see better days than we are in. Ameen. Insha'Allah. We digress from our story of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And usually we like to complete a series when we do it, but time sometimes forces us to change our theme. So we'll continue with our story and our history of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, even not next week or the week to come, because events in Palestine and at Masjid al-Aqsa requires us to talk about these events. It requires for us to discuss the issues, pertinent issues in the ummah. And I found that what's currently happening, myself included, it's sort of happening, we're not too sure what's going on. A lot of people looking at me with strange, like puzzled, what's happening in Palestine? What's new? And that's a scary thing, the fact that we don't know what is happening. That last week was the first time in almost 50 years that Jumu'ah was not held at Masjid al-Aqsa. Almost 50 years, Jumu'ah was not held. And if this, I don't know what happened today, Friday. I don't know if they had Jumu'ah in the masjid. But if they didn't have Jumu'ah today, it would be the first time in over 1,000 years since the crusade that two Jumu'ahs were missed at Masjid al-Aqsa. So these are scary things and these are major events that's occurring. And it's something which as an ummah, we seem to be very much detached. Before, when I grew up and when we grew up, Palestine was always the hot issue. And with Syria and all the other issues, we've sort of become numb. We've seen it, we don't know what to do, powerless. But we shouldn't stop talking about it at least. And at the very least, make dua. So we will just play a quick video. This will give you an insight as to what happened last week and why we find ourselves in the kind of situation that we do. So what happened last week? This is a video. No sound. I'm not too sure how clear the picture is. No, there's no sound. There's no sound. I'll summarize what basically the video is showing. It's a quick, very short video. So just to recap, basically what happened last week, just before Jumu'ah, a group of Palestinians, three of them, they attacked the Israeli soldiers at the masjid. Allah alam why they did it. Is it permissible, impermissible, different discussion. Were they justified, not justified? Were they provoked, unprovoked? Allah alam, we don't know. And we say obviously it's not permissible for anyone to just randomly attack a police officer or to randomly take matters in your own hands. We don't allow these kind of things. This issue of jihad, it's a different topic altogether. It is something that is from the ulama and collectively must be determined by the senior leadership of the Muslims. Nonetheless, three Palestinians, and we know that they are living under oppression and whatever suffering that they have, they attacked Israeli soldiers at the masjid, at Masjid al-Aqsa, which resulted in clashes. The three of them were killed, two Israeli soldiers were killed, and as a result, the Israeli authorities took over the compound, the Al-Aqsa compound, which we'll talk about insha'Allah, and they stopped Jummah from happening, and they kept it closed for, I think, 2 days, and then they reopened it on Monday. And when the masjid was now, the complex was reopened, it is now very fortified by the Israelis. There's security cameras, there are metal detectors. So what this shows, what the problem is, and why the Muslims in Palestine are upset, is that Al-Aqsa, it was agreed that the Al-Aqsa compound, even though Jerusalem is basically controlled by Israel, Al-Aqsa compound will be under the auspices of the Muslim authority, the Waqf. Jordan basically has authority over the masjid. They're the custodians of the masjid. And once you enter the compound, basically it's Muslim guards and security that's in charge. So it's like a foreigner or a person outside coming into your house and installing security cameras and putting metal detectors in your house and saying this is for protection purposes. We say that Israel has no authority to encroach on the sovereign, the independence of Al-Aqsa. And as a protest, the Muslims have said, so long as Israel puts up these security barriers and their guards are controlling the area, we will not go inside the masjid and we will make salah outside as protest. And that's basically what's happening. Israel must decide, are they going to take out and take away the security forces and give back control basically to the Muslim authorities, or is there going to be a clash? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save, you know, any bloodshed and grant this to be resolve peacefully. But how did we get here? How did we get here? And inshallah, today and next week and maybe the week thereafter, I will try to summarize 4,000 years of history in about an hour or two as to the history of Al-Aqsa, Masjid Al-Aqsa and the city of Al-Quds. The blessings of Jerusalem, the city itself, and the Masjid in particular cannot be overstated, that it is a haram. Haram is those three special designated lands where Allah has said, in this area, no killing, no fighting. What is halal outside is haram in there. You know, when the haji who goes on hajj, when he wears ihram, he's in the state of prohibition. He can't do this, he can't do that, he can't do X, Y, Z. Allah has basically put Makkah, Medina and Jerusalem in a state of permanent ihram. You can't do as you please, you can't take the flowers, kill the animals in those areas, let alone the people of those areas. So Allah has designated these three cities as being haram, sanctuary lil alameen. If the animals are protected, then the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians and the atheists, everyone in that land is protected. It is, as we know, the first qibla in which the Prophet ﷺ performed salah. For almost 2 years, he faced Bayt al-Maqdis as his qibla. Before the Kaaba, Bayt al-Maqdis was the qibla of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the name Jerusalem, where does it come from? It's a Hebrew word, Urshalim, like salam, Darus Salam. Basically, it means the city of peace. And perhaps it's the city with the least peace in the world. But it's the city meant for peace lil alameen. For everyone, it is peace for everyone. Muslims, Jews, Christians, this is how that city should be. Abu Dharr radiallahu anh, in a hadith which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, he said, I asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what was the first masjid basically on earth? And the Prophet said, the Masjid al-Haram was the first. Then which, Abu Dharr asked, what after that? Then the Prophet said, Masjid al-Aqsa, the masjid in Jerusalem. And Abu Dharr asked, how long was it between the two? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, 40 years. So we know that the Kaaba was the very first place of ibadah for mankind. Even before Nabi Adam, Mecca was the place of worship for insan. And in the history of Masjid al-Aqsa, we know that Nabi Ibrahim and very few other people we'll talk about had the honor of building the masjids in that area. Very few people. So Nabi Ibrahim had the honor of rebuilding the Kaaba in Mecca, as we know. And that's why the Hujjaj are going to visit Mecca now in the season of Hajj. He had Ismail in Mecca. And while he lived in Jerusalem, him and Ishaq built Masjid al-Aqsa. And their masjid, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he lived in Iraq. And when his people rejected him and his family left Iraq. They lived in Palestine. That's where he lived. That's where Nabi Ibrahim lived and died. And that's where he built his masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa. And Nabi Ibrahim's progeny, his son Ishaq, had a son Ya'qub, had a son Yusuf. they lived in Palestine, and that was their city, and that was where they lived, and that they were the founders of that area. And then we know the story of Nabi Yusuf. He left to Egypt, and when famine occurred in Palestine, when Palestine was struck by a famine, and Nabi Yusuf was a minister in Egypt, we know the story, he told his father, Nabi Ya'qub, the grandson of Nabi Ibrahim, "Oh my father, you and my brothers leave Palestine and live with us in Egypt." And that's why Bani Israel, the children of Ya'qub, Nabi Ya'qub is called Israel, the word Israel is Ya'qub, that's his name. Bani Israel, the sons of Nabi Ya'qub. When the sons of Nabi Ya'qub, the brothers of Nabi Yusuf, left Palestine, they settled in Egypt. And then after about 600 years, Nabi Musa comes along, because this tribe of Bani Israel were being oppressed by the Pharaoh in Egypt. So they left their land. They came as refugees to Egypt. And then Fir'aun began to oppress Bani Israel. And that's our story of Nabi Musa, is about this group of people. Why Allah brought Nabi Musa up was to bring Bani Israel out of Egypt back to the land of Canaan, or back to the land of Palestine. We will get to this in our story of Nabi Musa, but eventually we know that Fir'aun will be defeated. Allah will bring Bani Israel through the Red Sea into the desert and guide them to Palestine. And Allah will say, "Palestine, I have given you this land of Palestine, enter it." But when they got to Palestine, when they got to Jerusalem, they found that there were people living there already. Bani Israel, Nabi Musa's people, found that there were people living there. So Allah said, these people are oppressors. They are like Fir'aun, basically. You can make jihad against them. And then the Bani Israel said to Nabi Musa, "Idhab anta wa rabbuka." You and your Allah go and fight. We're sitting here. We don't want to fight jihad. You and your Allah go. So because of that, Allah said, "Qala fa innaha muharramatun alayhim." I have made Palestine haram for them. For Bani Israel, all of you haram. You will never enter it now. I gave it to you. You don't want to obey my command. So I've made it haram for you, Bani Israel. 40 sana. For 40 years, you will not enter it. Yatihuna fil ard. You will be lost wandering in the desert. Fala ta'sa ala al-qawm al-fasiqeen. So do not feel bad about the people who are disobedient to Allah. So now Bani Israel, under Nabi Musa's guidance, leaving Egypt, beating Fir'aun, get to Palestine, they refuse to fight jihad, Allah makes it haram for them. So now this group of people, Bani Israel, the offsprings of Nabi Ibrahim, they are left in the desert for 40 years. And Allah decreed that every single one of those people who left Egypt, haram for them to enter Palestine, even Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa and Nabi Harun were not allowed to enter Palestine, haram. All of them had to die in the desert, and their children, the next generation, got now an opportunity to re-enter Palestine. So Allah said, now you have an opportunity to enter Palestine once again. And after Nabi Musa had passed away, Nubuwa, prophethood, passed to Nabi Yusha. And we'll find Nabi Yusha not mentioned by name in the Quran, but he's mentioned in Surah Al-Kahf with Khidr alayhi salam. Nabi Musa, in the story of Khidr, inshallah we'll get to that. He has a servant, a boy, an apprentice that's with him, that's Nabi Yusha. So when Nabi Musa died, Nabi Harun died, Yusha became the Nabi of Bani Israel. So Allah said to Nabi Yusha, you and the next generation Bani Israel, you are allowed to take Palestine, but once again, on condition, you must fight a just jihad. A just jihad. And Allah said for Nabi Yusha, you have from Asr until Maghrib to conquer Palestine. If you don't conquer it within that time, haram for you once again. If the sun sets, haram. You cannot enter Palestine once again. So this group of Bani Israel, a much better group of Bani Israel, better than the followers of Nabi Musa, were the followers of Nabi Yusha. So they made jihad. And as they were fighting jihad, the waqt of Maghrib almost came, and the sun was about to set, and they had not yet won the battle. So Nabi Yusha said to the sun, you are a servant of Allah, O son, and you do the command of Allah. And I am a servant of Allah, and I also have my job. So allow me to do my job. And the Prophet says in a hadith in Bukhari, the sun has never stopped ever for any man besides Yusha when he wanted to conquer Bayt al-Maqdis. So then the sun paused. Allah allowed the sun to stop setting for 1 hour, and that's all he needed. And then they conquered Palestine. So this is the only man in history where the sun stopped setting for Nabi Yusha. That was his dua. Oh Allah, let the sun stop and let us conquer Palestine. So they conquered Palestine. And for the first time since Nabi Ibrahim, basically since Nabi Ya'qub, Bani Israel, the children of Nabi Ya'qub, were back in their ancestral home of Palestine. And they would live there and they would begin their own settlement and their own city. For 200 years, and then time would go on, and the kingdoms around Palestine would invade them and attack them, and they would defend this area. And they were weak, they weren't strong. And then came a time when, you know, the story of David and Goliath. This massive army with its hero, Jalut Goliath, was about to invade Palestine. The Bani Israel didn't have a king, they didn't have a leader. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a king, and He gave them an anbiya. And then they fought Goliath, and we know a young boy, Nabi Dawood, defeated Goliath. So now Nabi Dawood becomes the leader of Bani Israel. He becomes the Nabi and a king. A new age in Bani Israel's history, where Allah made the king and the Nabi the same person. What a great honor to have, that your political leader and your religious leader is the same man. So 2 centuries after the Israelites entered Jerusalem, Nabi Dawood took control, and he brought together the tribes of Bani Israel. And Allah gave Nabi Dawood this thing called the Tabut, the Ark of the Covenant, a special box which Allah gave Nabi Musa. Something of Nabi Musa, inside it is the angels carry this box. It floated without people carrying it. Inside it is Sakina. It's mentioned in the Quran that this was given to Nabi Dawood. This was a sign of his kingdom, of his mulk. And Nabi Dawood now reinforced and strengthened Bani Israel. And after him, Allah had blessed Bani Israel with their greatest king of all time, Nabi Sulaiman. Nabi Sulaiman now becomes the king after Nabi Dawood. And he would now build in Palestine the massive masjid, a special kind of masjid. Masjid al-Aqsa was always there. It was a masjid, a basic masjid. But now Nabi Sulaiman, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah had not only given him nubuwa, he wasn't only a Nabi, he wasn't only a king, but he ruled the jinn as well. And the jinn have the power, as we know, to move objects, big objects. So Allah allowed him to build a magnificent masjid, a temple. They call it the temple. It's, of course, we know it's a masjid, the Masjid al-Aqsa. And he took a massive area inside of Palestine to build this massive and magnificent masjid of Masjid al-Aqsa. And something that we don't know, what is Masjid al-Aqsa? And if you look at the image on the next slide, that square in the orange box, all of that is Al-Aqsa. So in Palestine, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll find in the city like a little flat hill, like a mini table mountain, if you call it, a little flat hill, and it's about 300 meters by 500 meters, 500 meters down by 300 meters. So it's a massive area. This entire plateau or this entire hill is basically Masjid al-Aqsa. All of that is the haram of Masjid al-Aqsa. And on this hill, Nabi Sulaiman built his masjid. A massive, magnificent masjid built by the jinn. Imagine the masjid built by the jinn. And perhaps the masjid encompassed the entire area. Much bigger than the original masjid that was there. But this entire area is Masjid al-Aqsa. After Nabi Sulaiman had passed away, and we learn from this from Bani Israel as well, they began to divide, form sects, call each other kafir, debate about this and that, change the laws, not follow the sunnah, become attached to the dunya. Eventually they split, their country split into two. They had a country to the north called Israel, and a country to the south called Judea. So, like the Muslims have today, the Jews split into two different nations. The Jews of Israel and the Jews of Judea. And Palestine and Masjid al-Aqsa was in Judea in the south. And not long after that, 20 years or so after they split, Israel was invaded, and soon after that, Judea was invaded as well by a people called the Babylonians. They invaded Judea, and now Kuffar invaded Palestine, and they took control of the masjid. This magnificent masjid of Nabi Sulaiman, the Babylonians entered it, and they massacred the people of Bani Israel, killed the men, enslaved the women, and burnt the masjid to the ground. And Allah mentions this in the Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ أَوْلَاهُمَا So Allah says, when the first of my two promises, Allah said to Bani Israel, twice you are going to disobey me, and twice I'm going to punish you, and twice they're going to destroy the masjid. The first time Allah says, بَعَثْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادًا لَنَا أُولِي بَأْسٍ شَدِيدٍ فَجَاسُوا خِلَالَ الدِّيَارِ وَكَانَ وَعْدًا مَفْعُولًا. So when the time and the promise came the first time, we sent against you, servants here could be, obviously everyone is the servant and the slave of Allah, even those who disobey Allah, even Iblis is the slave of Allah, that an enemy and those commissioned, or those under the command of Allah, they entered and they destroyed the masjid. Whether they were kuffar, Allahu alam, but they came in and they destroyed the masjid. And they enslaved Bani Israel, and this was a promise fulfilled. And in fact, Bani Israel once again basically lived as they lived under Fir'aun. They lived under oppression, under the Babylonians. And for the next 500 years or so, so this is about 500 years before Nabi Isa. This is before Nabi Isa. So we're talking 2,500 years ago. The Jews lived as a subjugated people. They never had a country of their own. From the time of Nabi Sulaiman, really, the Bani Israel, or those who claim to be Bani Israel, they lived as an oppressed people under different kingdoms. First the Babylonians, then Alexander the Great, the Greeks, then the Persians, and the Persians were a little better to them. Then the Romans took over. The Romans, in the time of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, the Romans were in control of Palestine. And throughout their story, throughout their history, Allah sent them Anbiya. And it's something for us to learn. That even though, look at our times, we look how weak we are. Nabi Ibrahim lived under oppression. Nabi Musa lived under Fir'aun. Nabi Isa lived under Roman oppression. That basically most of the Anbiya throughout their history, they were living against, you know, a subjugated, colonized, weak people. Very few times do we find a Nabi Sulaiman where he's the king and he's in control. Nabi Dawood. Very few times. In fact, all of the Anbiya, you could say, besides the few exceptions, live in a time like we're living in. A weak, subjugated people under the foot of oppression. This is the Sunnah of the Anbiya. Allah sent them Nabis to guide them through and help them fix their problems, but they didn't follow the Anbiya. So Allah gave them a chance. Allah sent them the Messiah. The one who Allah promised them, a man, I will send to you a Nabi that will rule this world, that will give you izzah and strength. The son of Nabi is the son of Maryam alayhi salam, Nabi Isa alayhi salam. That if you follow him, he will be the Messiah. He is the Messiah. And they came, and he came at a time when Palestine was ruled, Jerusalem was ruled by the Romans. The Romans that time were not Christian. Christianity didn't exist that time. They were, what were the Romans worshipping? They were worshipping Zeus and Hercules and all the mythological planets and many, many gods. Pagans, they were pagans. So Nabi Isa came at a time when the Romans ruled Jerusalem. And the Romans allowed the Jews, allowed them a degree of autonomy. The Romans said, look, you can have your ulama, you can have your MJC, you can have your places of worship. Don't challenge our authority. We are in charge, you follow the laws, and you can live as you want. So when Nabi Isa came up, and he challenged the Jewish clergy, the ulama of Bani Israel, and said that you people are corrupt, and it's time to get back to follow the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it wasn't the Romans that rejected Nabi Isa, it was Bani Israel. And before Nabi Isa, they had killed Nabi Zakariya and Nabi Yahya already. They'd already now, they'd gone to the point where when the Anbiya came, they said, you people are living, you're weak, you're divided, you're oppressed. Follow the Nabi, Allah is going to give you liberation. When they didn't like the Anbiya, they simply killed the Nabi. This is something which many, you know, subhanAllah, this is the extreme height of anger to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he sends you a Nabi to guide you out of it, that you kill them. And that's why this Ummah, alhamdulillah, one of the things that makes this Ummah our special is our love for Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even though we don't follow his sunnah as we should, we love him in our hearts more than any other ummah loved their anbiya. 1,500 years later, he's still very, very special in our hearts. So this group of people, not only did they reject Nabi Isa after he brought them clear signs, after they had made dua, Ya Allah, send us our Messiah. Until today, the Jews believe in the Messiah. In fact, the concept of Messiah meaning the one who will bring salvation to the world, is a Jewish concept. It's not something which the Muslims or the Christians, it was in Bani Israel's Torah, that a time will come, a Messiah will come. And they've been waiting because they rejected the original Messiah. They're still waiting for their Messiah. So Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam came and they rejected him. And in fact, they tried to, we know, crucify him. So Allah saved them, saved Nabi Isa. But as a punishment for them, after Nabi Isa had left the dunya, about 70 years later, the Jews rose up and they followed a false Messiah against the Romans and they lost. So the Romans entered Palestine for a second time, as Allah mentioned, and destroyed the masjid once again and completely subjugated them. In fact, the Romans went so far to say from now on, Jews are not allowed to live in Palestine, and they were kicked out of Palestine. Not by the Muslims, by the Romans. For 300 years, the Jews were not allowed to live in Palestine. And to really show and humiliate the Jews, not only did they demolish the masjid at Masjid al-Aqsa, but the Jews made it a rubbish heap. The rubbish heap of Jerusalem was Masjid al-Aqsa. They filled it with garbage and najasa. And they built a huge temple to the god of their main god, Zeus or Jupiter. And this is how it was for about 300 years. And in fact, the name Urshalim or Jerusalem was changed to Eli Capitolina. The name of Jerusalem was even changed. That's why you find, and this is a side note, very interesting, you find in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not speak about Jerusalem because the name Jerusalem was in there, it was called Eli. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls the city Eli because that was the name that the Romans had given the city. So the Romans ruled it for 300 years, banned the Jews from living there, and they made Masjid al-Aqsa basically a rubbish heap. And then an emperor of the Romans became Christian, a man called Constantine. He became Christian. So the Romans were pagan, they worshipped idols, and this man became Christian, the Christianity that we know today. And he now comes back to Jerusalem, and he relaxes the law. He's a bit more lenient to the Jews and the Christians, and he removes the temples of paganism, and he builds churches. And he basically built the haram of the Christians, the most sacred place for the Christians, is a church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They believe that's when Nabi Isa was crucified. Obviously, we know he wasn't crucified, but they believe this is the area, and they built a church there called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. The Roman Emperor Constantine built this about 300 years before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. 1,700 years ago. And now, but still, Masjid al-Aqsa, the area was still used as a rubbish heap. To the Christians, this wasn't a holy place to them. They, obviously, the New Testament is not about Bani Israel, not about Nabi Sulaiman, not about the Masjid. It's all about Jesus and the Trinity. So it's a new kind of... So the Christians are now ruling Jerusalem for 300 years. And then 600 years after Nabi Isa, Allah sent Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would travel to Palestine on the Isra and the Mi'raj, and he would perform Salah. So the time, we all know the story. He went to Masjid al-Aqsa to make Salah, but there was no Masjid al-Aqsa. Masjid al-Aqsa didn't exist. He performed a Salah with the Anbiya at a Masjid which Allah had reconstructed, Nabi Sulaiman's Masjid for him, in a manner which we cannot understand beyond, like the rest of the Isra and the Mi'raj, where he performed Salah. But in reality, that masjid did not exist. It was a garbage heap. And after the Prophet ﷺ and the Khilafah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, the Muslim Ummah began to expand. And the Muslims won a great victory against the Romans at the Battle of Yarmouk. Khalid ibn Walid, Saifullah radiallahu anhu, engineered one of the greatest victories in the history of mankind. And he basically removed the power of the Romans in Syria and Palestine. And now Jerusalem is... without a leader. Jerusalem is conquered by this new group of people, these Arabs in the desert. And the authority of Jerusalem, there's ulama, there are rabbis in Jerusalem, there are pagans in Jerusalem, there are priests in Jerusalem, and obviously the Christians being controlled, Jerusalem was run basically by the Archbishop of Jerusalem. And when he heard the Muslims had defeated the Romans, he said, "We don't want bloodshed here in Palestine. We will give over the city to you Muslims, but we want your Khalifa, we want your leader to come here personally. We're not going to give the key of the city to anyone except your leader," which was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar is in Medina. And when he gets the news, his armies in Jerusalem say, "You must come to Palestine, O Khalifa." Sayyidina Umar says, "Okay, no problem, fine." He comes by himself with a servant, just him and a servant. This is the most powerful man on earth. said, I will go through the desert, just me and my servant, and we will share one camel or a donkey. Some even say it's a donkey. This is how the most powerful man in the world comes to conquer the city of Jerusalem. And as they are walking through the desert, Sayyidina Umar said, it's only fair that for an hour or 2 hours, I ride the camel and you walk and then it's your turn. I'm not going to ride and the servant walks the entire journey. So they alternated. 1 hour Sayyidina Umar walks, 1 hour he rides. And when they entered Jerusalem, it was the turn of the servant. So the servant says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we can't enter the city with me riding the camel and you walking. So he says, no, fair is fair. You ride, I will walk. And this is how Sayyidina Umar enters the city of Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, before he meets the Archbishop of Jerusalem, he meets his generals, the Sahaba. These are Sahaba. And they said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you can't go and meet the leaders of the Christians looking like this. You came from the desert. You get some clothing. We told him about our Khalifa, Sayyidina Umar, this great Sahabi. And you dressed like a Bedouin. Sayyidina Umar got very upset. And he grabbed one of his generals and he said, where were we before Islam? Remember where we were? We were killing our daughters and we were fighting over camels. And then Allah sent us Islam. And when we held on to Islam, look at us now. Allah made us the leaders of this world. And the minute we forget that, the minute we let go of that Islam, Allah is going to put us back where we were in Jahiliyyah. That's the answer to Palestine. Sayyidina Umar is giving us the answer there. So he enters the city. And they give him the key. And now for the first time since Nabi Isa, Sayyidina Umar, listen to this. Sayyidina Umar declares an edict that Jerusalem is free to anyone and everyone. And the Jews who were banned, the Jews who were kicked out of Jerusalem, you are allowed to come back. And the holy places of the Christians are for them. The holy places of the Jews are for them. The holy places of the Muslims are for them. And he goes now to Masjid al-Aqsa. The place of Masjid al-Aqsa. And what does he find? A garbage heap. Right? There's no masjid there. It's just rubbish. And he stands there. And he begins to pick up the dirt. Put it in his thobe. And he starts carrying the dirt out himself. And one by one the people of Jerusalem follow his example. And they clear the entire area of the najasa and filth. With his own hands, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh removed it. And now we have an empty plateau. An empty hill. And there's this rock. And which we'll talk about inshallah next week. And he asks, we should build a masjid here. Where should we build this masjid? And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, after consultation with Sahaba, he built a masjid towards, and we will show perhaps next week the pictures, he built a masjid towards the southern side, meaning facing the Qibla, right to the end, to the south. He built the masjid there. And that is the masjid which we call Masjid al-Aqsa. It's not really Masjid al-Aqsa. It's Masjid Qibali. It's Masjid of Sayyidina Umar. And I end off with this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh has a unique honor. He built Masjid al-Nabawi by hand. There was no Masjid al-Nabawi. When he came to Medina, they built it by hand. He built it with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he built Masjid al-Aqsa by hand as well. And he extended the haram in Mecca. Three of the harams, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, that honor. Everyone makes salah in there, he gets a credit. Even something we say, the Anbiya, only something that Nabi Ibrahim had that honor, Sayyidina Umar had that honor. So we'll talk inshallah about Islamic rule. So for 1,500 years since Sayyidina Umar, this ummah, we have been in control of Masjid al-Aqsa until the past 60, 70 years. And I'll show you what was it like, how did we rule the city? How did we treat the Jews and the Christians and those who didn't agree with us? How did we rule that city? Compared to what has happened now. And how did we lose the city? From the time of Sayyidina Umar, it's a shock. We've lost it. How did we? What happened? And how do we, inshallah, we go back to this legacy of our time? Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us and have mercy on us. May Allah grant us to see better days in this ummah. Just a few announcements. Hajj greetings. Those who will follow, who will visit the greatest masjid on earth, the Masjid of the Haram, inshallah, we ask them to make dua for us. And just our brother Abdul Hadi Dali and his wife will be leaving on the 23rd of July. Hajra Ilya, 27th of July. Ruwaida Adams, the 28th of July. Hassan Sali and wife on the 2nd of August. Tariq Ali and wife Lamiz on the 2nd of August. Our brother Abdul Mohimin Basir who's in charge here in the room, will be leaving, and his wife Najwa will be leaving on the 6th of August. And Wasif Ali and wife Nihal will be leaving on the 9th of August. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them a safe trip and a safe return. Hajj Maqbool and Mabroor. Allah keep them in our du'as. And inshallah return them safely. Ameen. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam wa sallim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.